If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tonight's video is about a factory worker who works at a factory plant in the state of Pennsylvania that encounters something that should not be there. Let me rephrase that. Something that should not even exist. And here is his story. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Factory work sucks. Anyone who's worked in a factory will tell you that. It's a boring, thankless job that no one really wants. The boss is there to get the quota out and that's it. He might say he's concerned for your safety, but it's a lie. I used to work in a factory where they made paper products. I'm not talking about paper cups or plates. I'm talking about standardized tests and voting forms. We did a lot of government work. The boring kind. However, we didn't get government pay. Management treated us like mushrooms. They fed us crap and kept us in the dark. What they did do was overwork us and foster mistrust among employees. Being on your feet for 12 hours a night was bad enough in itself. Breaks were a joke. We get 2 10-minute breaks and a 20-minute lunch. The problem was, the break room was at the front of the plant. If you were unlucky enough to be working at the back of the plant, like me, you had to walk nearly a quarter mile to get to the break room. Of course, they don't allow you walking time. Your break starts and ends at a specific time, no matter where you were, no matter how tired you were, no matter how much your feet hurt. When the break was over, you better damn well be back at your station. What made things even worse was when the machine operator was a suck-up and ran the machine as fast as she could, with zero consideration for the people on her line that had to keep up. We didn't dare complain though, or she would just work us through breaks. She just refused to stop the machine. Believe me, I've fallen victim to her narcissistic terrorism before. But how could she get away with that, you say? When one of her best friends happened to be the shift supervisors and believe every lie, I mean every word she said, it wasn't too much of a stretch to say that she could do whatever she damn well pleased. There was a clear class distinction at the factory. The upstairs people, management, who rarely deigned to go slumming on the factory floor to see how the factory really worked. And then there was the rest of us. The poor slobs who lurked into work every night and limped out every morning. I used to compare us to the Morlocks and the Eli from the Time Machine. They, the Eli, were the clueless upper world dwellers who lived a perfect life free of any kind of problems. We, the Morlocks, were the creatures they kept in the dark working endlessly to keep their perfect world running. I just wish the comparison wouldn't have ended there. I would gladly pick a few of the upper dwellers for a permanent trip to the underworld. But I digress. Yes, factory work sucks. Unless you had one of those golden jobs that got you off your feet. These jobs are forklift drivers. Many times I looked on in envy at the forklift drivers who would sit on their lift waiting for us, the actual workers, to fill a pallet with whatever product they were making, so they would swoop in and take it away to the trucks or the shelves or wherever they took it to. So naturally, the day I found out I was being made a forklift driver was the happiest day in my factory career. It didn't even compare. The forklift job was much better and easier than the slave labor of working on a machine. I came in, got my coffee, and went to my little driver's shack in the back corner of the plant where things were relatively quiet. They checked my forklift to make sure I had a full battery, and off I went zipping around as happy as a kid with a new toy. For months, I was flying on cloud nine, happy to come to work for the first time in a long time. I didn't think I could even be unhappy in that job. Man, was I wrong. It happened one day when we were running a booklet we hadn't run in a long time. There were huge rolls of paper that weighed upwards to a ton, and they were stacked up on one another in towers that reached all the way to the ceiling. Unfortunately, since this was a seldom used paper, it was all the way at the bottom, so I had to unstack all the rest of the rolls and put them somewhere so I could get to the one that I needed. This not only took a while, but we also happened to be extremely busy that night. The day shift had left us with the mess to work out, and I was busier than a termite in a sawmill. So, the machine that couldn't run until I unstacked the paper kept calling me, asking me if I would be there. In the meantime, every other machine needed tending as well. It was not a good night. Of course, when you're rushing, you're more prone to make mistakes. And brought the wrong booklets to the machine that happened to be running by the evil suck-up operator. Once she started running the books, she realized they were the wrong ones, and instead of working to fix the problem, she wanted to scream at me that I was making her fall behind. I was making everyone else fall behind by tending to her problem, but she didn't care about that. I worked through both of my breaks trying to catch up, but nobody seemed to care. Once all the little whiners were happy, I went back to unstacking the paper rolls. When I finally got to the bottom roll, I noticed something strange. There was a place that seemed unnaturally dark. Don't get me wrong, when you're dealing with towers of paper rolls that stretch to the ceiling, there are plenty of times when they block out the light. The entire area where the rolls were stacked was darker for that reason. Where I had unstacked was directly beneath the light. But at the bottom, it was still dark and there was no earthly reason why. I got off my forklift and grabbed a flashlight. I approached the cloud of darkness curiously but cautiously. I shone the flashlight into it, but the light disappeared. It was like it just sucked the light out of the air. I stepped to the side, and I could see behind the cloud. I stepped to the other side, and the same thing happened. I took a step closer to this strange phenomenon. I held the flashlight closer to the edge of it. As I did, the light disappeared. I pulled the flashlight back to make sure that it was still on, and it was. I extended the light into the darkness again. This time, the flashlight went all the way in, including my hand. The air felt cool, but not cold. My curiosity overwhelmed my common sense, and I let my arm slide further in. It felt like empty air. There was no obstructions and nothing touched my hand. For some reason, I felt drawn in further, like I had to know what this was. I stepped into the cloud. As soon as I did, my vision went dark. I couldn't even see the light from the flashlight. I panicked for a moment, but felt pulled further into the darkness. And then I was through. I was on the other side. I looked around and found myself still in the factory. I was where the paper rolls were stacked. I was basically in the same place, except it was different. The lights were dimmer, and they had a reddish hue. It cast everything in an eerie red glow. I wondered if we had lost power and the emergency lights were on. I stepped forward and looked around. Many things seemed the same, but there was no sound. No machines running, no forklifts zipping here and there, no voices or intercoms. It was completely still. Even the air didn't seem to be moving. My mind sent an emergency alert saying I didn't want to be in this place.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I looked around, but it was nowhere to be found. It was strange because I had only taken a few steps. I decided to look around and see if it would reappear. I walked over to the paper press machine that had been running when I was unstacking the paper rolls, but it was still. No one was there attending it. There was something else odd. It had a layer of dust on it, as if it hadn't been used in years. But the strangest thing was a pile of bones sitting on the floor in front of the machine. I recoiled at the sight of the bones that glowed red in the ambient light. I backed away from them, wondering who they were and what had happened. For one ludicrous moment, my eyes darted to the first aid cabinet, and then I came to my senses and retreated from them as though I expected them to reanimate and lunge for me horror movie style. I was rattled. Why and how would that happen? If someone was playing a joke, it wasn't a funny one. Keeping an eye on the bones, just to be sure, I went over to the machine where the suck-up had been running her workers to death. It was also still, and a layer of dust on it. As I approached, I saw another pile of bones. They glowed red in the light, but when I shone the flashlight on them, they were as white could be. Strangely, they were piled in the spot the operator would stand. I stepped away and went down the length of the machine, finding another pile of bones in the next station. This went on for the entire machine. Wherever there was a workstation, there was a pile of bones. What the hell was going on here? What was that dark cloud? Did I just pass into some personal hell? Everything about the factory looked the same, except for the disused machines and the pile of bones. Had I somehow transported back in time? Questions bombarded me as I continued through the old part of the factory, finding not a living soul, but bones of the machines where they should be. As I roamed in total silence, something else struck me as odd. There were no supplies on the shelves, no completed projects waiting to be shipped, no booklets to feed into the machines, nothing. As I went from the old section into the new, I was suddenly assaulted by sound. It was as if someone had just flicked on the switch and turned it back on. I looked over at the machines and quickly dove for cover. There were operators here running the machines, but they were skeletons. They were doing everything an operator should do. There was one loading a machine, another unloading it. And there was even a skeleton driving a forklift taking the finished work to stacking it on the shelf. The strange thing was, as soon as the forklift driver would set a pallet full of finished work onto the shelf, it would disappear into thin air as if it never existed. I snuck past a few more machines with the same bizarre crews. They were working just like any normal worker would on any given day. They just didn't have skin, or muscles, or eyes. I hid as best as I could when the forklift went past me. Then I snuck around the machine and headed towards the break room. I peeked in through the window and saw several skeletons sitting at a table where the workers would take their breaks. The utter impossibility of the scene was wearing on my sanity. I kept trying to wake up as if this was a nightmare, but I couldn't. Past the break room was the main door to the factory. I quietly tried to open it, but it was locked. My escape blocked, I went up the stairs to the offices. Usually, I wouldn't be allowed upstairs. None of us common workers were allowed upstairs unless we were summoned. I made my way to the first office and peeked in. Instead of a skeleton behind the desk, there sat a nightmare. It was a corpse. The skin was sagging on her face with congealed blood in several places, and there were openings to see through her cheeks. I could even see a hint of teeth, but she was dressed in a business suit and going about normal day routine things like filing papers and typing on the computer. Even her hand was partially covered with skin, and partially skin rotting off the bones. I waited until her back was turned to the door and slipped past to look into other offices. The next few were the same. Rotting corpses dressed in office attire and doing their jobs as if it was the most normal thing in the world. Was I losing my mind? I found a chair in an empty boardroom and sat for a moment to collect my thoughts. What was this insane place? Was I in my own personal hell? Was this some purgatory for factory workers, where they had to continue to work on until the afterlife? As I pondered these things, I heard another sound. A growl. It wasn't like an earthly animal I've ever heard. It was like someone had combined a growl of a lion with the Tyrannosaurus Rex from Jurassic Park. The sound reverberated through the walls, coming closer by the second. I felt a wave of nausea wash over me as the growl intensified. I searched frantically for some place to hide, to get as far away from this thing as I could. My mind shuddered with fear, imagining the nightmare that was about to consume me. I found the darkest corner I could and squeezed myself into it, praying that no part of me would be seen. As a last resort, I pulled a chair in front of me slowly so it wouldn't make any noise. A cloud of mist drifted into the room, making me freeze in terror. I felt the first footstep before I saw the massive footstep into the room. It was like a giant claw attached to a massive, sinewy leg. It was covered in dark, scale skin like a giant lizard. The slight opening between the back and the seat and the chair was my only protection and my only way of seeing this horrid creature. The belly and the arms were made of the same dark scales, and for an instant I thought I saw a hint of leathery wings flowing behind it like a cape. I couldn't see the head, and I was glad about that. I think if I had been able to, I would have screamed regardless of the danger. The clawed foot approached my hiding place. It paused in front of the chair, causing my mind to go into convulsions of fear. Somehow, I had the presence of mind to hold my breath. As I breathed in silently, the horrid stench of death assaulted my senses. It stood there for an eternity. I knew I was dead. Even worse, I felt this thing. This abomination had the ability to rip apart my soul as well as my body. Imagination gripped me and told me all sorts of atrocities that were about to happen to me. The creature's breath chugged like a steam engine, filling the room with mist. Without warning, it stepped away from my hiding place. I felt the footsteps recede and the mist as well. From the direction of the footsteps, there was a sudden scream. It pierced the air like an arrow and penetrated my ears. I nearly leaped from my hiding place. My nerves were shot. I was stressed out, trying to decide if I should stay or leave. My mind outlined the pros and cons while I slowly moved the chair from in front of me and extricated myself from my impromptu sanctuary. I slipped out of the doorway the creature had entered and looked up and down the hallway. The doors all looked identical, and I forgot which way I had come in. I mentally flipped a coin and turned right. I crept up to the open doorway and peeked in. Another corpse dressed in a business suit sat behind a desk. I slipped past the door and found the same thing. All five doors down the hall held the same scene. When I reached the end and turned the corner, and there was another identical hallway. My fear and irritation battled for which was stronger. As I decided, one of the corpses came out of the office and nearly ran into me. We looked at each other in horror and both screamed at the same time. I ran down the previous hallway as more corpses appeared, looking around to see what was happening. As I ran past, they tried to grab me, causing me to dodge left and right to stay out of their grasp like some insane game of tag. I reached the end and found another identical hallway. Panic clawed at my mind as I dodged more corpses, eventually finding the door I had come in. As I ran towards it, the monstrous demon turned the far corner. It opened its maw and shrieked the most horrible sound I had ever heard. Then it flung itself at me, its leathery wings slicing through the air. The corpses flooded into the hallway at the call of their master, throwing themselves at me with reckless abandon. I flung myself down the stairs, trying not to fall as I took them two at a time. The corpses didn't seem to use such caution. They tumbled over each other, creating a mackery waterfall of decaying flesh. I hit the ground running, finally on familiar turf. I shot past the break room, towards the newer part of the factory floor. The skeletons must have heard the call as well. The first few abandoned their machines as soon as they saw me. They tried to block the hallway, but I cut through the back door of the men's restroom and out the front. They quickly reversed their course, joined by two others in pursuit. I ran into the open area of the docking bay and was able to dodge the skeletons that were now joined by the corpses. I ran back to the old section where I knew every inch, every dark corner, every hiding place. I searched for the portal near the stacks of paper rolls where I had arrived in this familiar hell, but it was nowhere to be found. I circled the area to keep my pursuers at bay as I searched. My pursuers realized my tactic and tried to outflank me. In the middle of avoiding a group of corpses and skeletons, the demon hovered down in front of me. I slid to a stop as a massive fist smashed the concrete floor in front of me, shattering it and sending dust flying into the air. The red light gave the dust a glow and made the place seem even more hellish. As evil as the red cloud looked, I used it to lose myself in the confusion. I dove and crawled and slid around every creature I could make out. Some slashed at me with rotting nails or bare bones, but I kept moving. The confusion was so great that the ones who knew where I was would topple over, tangled up with the ones who didn't. I was able to crawl out of the throng and make my way to the exit door. I tried it, to no avail. It wasn't just locked, it was solid. There was no give to the door at all, like someone had built a brick wall behind it. I tried door after door that should have led outside, but they were all the same, solid and unyielding. As I searched for a way out, the red cloud drifted towards me. They must have figured out I had given them the slip and were back in pursuit. I tried to think of the only one place they couldn't look for me until I could plan out some other way out of here. I ran to the elevator and pressed the button. Nothing happened. I ran to the break room and desperately searched for something to pry the doors open with. I found a metal butter knife and shoved it in between the doors, opening them just enough to get my fingers in. I pulled with all my might. Straining at the doors, crept slowly open, I saw the first of my pursuers. I squeezed myself into the elevator car as the doors slammed shut. I collapsed to the floor and sat still. I tried to slow my breathing as quickly as I could. I pulled the flashlight out of my pocket but didn't turn it on. I didn't want to risk even a sliver of light being seen from the outside. I focused on breathing deep, slow.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Oh, and silent. The air was close in the elevator, but at least there was no damn red glow, only darkness. Suddenly, I felt panic rising in me, realizing I hadn't looked inside the elevator before diving in. I held a quick debate in which panic won over caution. I covered the flashlight with my hand, creating the eerie red glow I came to hate. I quickly panned around and found nothing. I doused the light as I heard the dead and decaying lumber by like it was a shift change. After the crowd was gone, I heard the heavy footsteps that could only be that demon leader. They too passed by the elevator, and then they paused. I held my breath, not knowing if it would be my last. Unsure if that monster would punch right through the doors and drag me to my doom. The silence was thick enough to cut with the chainsaw. I didn't move. That thing was waiting, listening. And then the doors exploded inward. They just missed me as they embedded themselves into the back wall of the elevator. The demon glared down at me. I was dead. By some miracle, instead of cowering and accepting my fate, I jumped up and climbed out of the top of the elevator, aided by stepping on the doors that were embedded in the wall. It didn't seem to expect that. Its claws slashed the air just beneath my foot as I clambered out and shone my flashlight up the shaft. It was dark, but the top seemed to be extra dark. My flashlight couldn't penetrate it. I nearly jumped for joy. I had found the portal. I only prayed it would stay there until I could get to it. If I could get to it, I began climbing the access ladder with every ounce of quickness and agility in me. Below me, the monster was tearing the roof of the elevator to shreds trying to get to me. It became a bizarre foot race as I climbed with all possible speed. My foe, however, was cheating. He flapped his wings twice and shot up towards me. I was frantic and despondent, knowing it was going to catch me inches from my salvation. Then it roared as I saw its wings hit the metal framework inside the shaft. Hope burgeoned inside me as the monster's struggles gave me the precise seconds I needed. I reached the top of the ladder and flung myself into the open air above the portal. For one horrible moment, I felt myself falling and knew I was wrong. This wasn't the portal. I was falling to my death and the feast of the beast that pursued me. I landed hard on something solid yet oddly soft. Opening my eyes, I looked at the surface that had knocked the wind out of me. I felt it with the fingers and knew it was carpet. Behind me, someone cleared their throat. I turned to see the owner of the company sitting at his desk. I struggled to my feet, feeling the adrenaline crash coming on. "Who are you and how did you get in here?" he said, looking me up and down. I took in my own appearance, forgetting about the shredded, dirty, and bloodied clothing that barely clung to me. I opened my mouth to say something, then realized no matter what I said about the trauma I had just been through, it wouldn't be believed. I wasn't sure I believed it myself. I smiled at him and said, "Just a lonely Morlock, sir." He growled softly, reminding me of the sound I had heard recently. I turned and left his office, glancing in at well-dressed office workers as I walked through the well-lit hallways, having flashbacks to the deadly pursuit. I knew I couldn't spend one more minute in that place. I walked out the main door, grateful that it opened, and never stepped foot back inside that factory. I still have nightmares, even months later. It's only now that I have gathered the courage to tell my tale.